This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. If you've got a Bible with you, would you like to turn to Romans chapter 8? If you don't have your Bible with you, you'll need one because I'm not putting the words on the screen. Just put your hand in the air and somebody will come and give you a Bible. We're not going to use the translation that's in the pews. We're going to use a different one. So just shove your hand in the air if you haven't got a Bible with you and you need one. If you don't possess a Bible and you'd like one, do take this. They're free. If you want to make a contribution, they're about £6, I think. You put the money in the thing, offering box. But I'd encourage you to bring your Bible with you each week as we look at it and become familiar with it. There are lots of translations of the Bible, and I tend to use the New International Version, the NIV, which is the one that we're giving out now. Not always, but I tend to use that one. And I'm really keen that you should become familiar with the book, not just have it as a random set of words that are up on the screen once a week, but with the book, and that it becomes something that you're very close to, you're familiar with, you know the geography of the book, and when the Lord speaks to you through Scripture, you know your way back to it. If you want to find Romans chapter 8, if you don't know where Romans is, just look it up in the index. It's near the right-hand side. After the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you then got Acts, and then you got Romans. We're looking at lots of, over the last couple of years, we've been looking at Romans a lot. We've got as far as Romans chapter 8. We've covered lots of topics. And this week's theme is skin and bones. People can get the Bible wrong, can't they? I mean, it's the children in particular sometimes misunderstand the Bible, and there's a lot of, some people have never read it, and some people have read it and have read it inaccurately. I saw this written by a young scholar, a scholar in inverted commas. The Bible is full of many interesting caricatures. It says, the first five books of the Bible are Genesis, Exodus, laxatives, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. In the first book of the Bible, Guinness, God got tired of creating the world, so he took the Sabbath off. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day, but a ball of fire by night. The Jews were a proud people, and throughout history they had trouble with the unsympathetic genitals. So ironic. Moses led the Hebrews to the Red Sea, where they made unleavened bread, which is bread made without any ingredients. And the Egyptians were all drowned in the desert. And afterwards, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Amendments. The first amendment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. The fifth amendment is humor thy father and mother. The seventh amendment is thou shalt not admit adultery. King David also fought with the Finkelsteins, a race of people who lived in biblical times. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. But that was uncomfortable. When Mary heard that she was the mother of Jesus, she sang the Magna Carta. She sang Acapulco, because opera and instruments hadn't been invented yet. And possibly my favorite, Jesus was born because Mary had an immaculate contraption. So we try here to bring a little bit more substance and understanding to the Scripture. What somebody, a student once said to us recently, somebody had never ever read the Bible but come from a different culture, and they said, we can't wait to read this masterpiece. That's what it is. It's a masterpiece. Back in 1981, on the 1st of August, a couple of days after Prince Charles and Lady Di got married, I stood up in front of a bunch of people as a 21-year-old, and I said this: I, David Flowers, take you, Alison Bennett, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death us do part, according to God's holy law, in the presence of God, I make this vow. I read that now and I think, gosh, did I really make those promises? Did I really think, as a 21-year-old, had I any idea what I was committing myself to? What a vow to make. I can actually understand, and I sort of, in a way, agree with people who cohabit, who choose to cohabit, because that's not many people would have the courage or the belief or the commitment to make that sort of promise. So maybe it's an easier option to just live together for a bit. Last Friday, those of you who live in a different planet might not be aware, but Donald Trump was in the news. Do you know who Donald Trump is? Yeah? In the news, again, about some misbehavior. And he issued an apology, which is a rarity, I understand. And he said this on a video. He said this: I pledge to be a better man tomorrow and to never, ever let you down. I pledge to be a better man tomorrow and to never, ever let you down. What an extraordinarily courageous promise to make. How peculiar that it needed to be made in the first place, but what an extraordinary. Everybody is condemning him for that. But I think that cry of his heart is exactly the same as the cry of your heart and my heart. Oh God, I want to be a better man. Oh God, I want to be a better woman. Oh, please don't let me let people down again. Isn't that the cry of our heart? Aren't we under condemnation? Aren't we? There's a story about a lady who was on the internet looking for romance, and she made a liaison with a guy, and she went to meet him in a restaurant and wearing the rosette and all that, and he didn't turn up. And so she rang her best friend, and she said, he didn't turn up. And her best friend said, what did you think? You're just skin and bones. You've got no money. You've got no giftings. You've got some really bad habits. Did you actually think he would turn up? Actually, it wasn't her friend saying that. That's what she said to herself. We condemn ourselves, don't we? All the time. And Donald Trump was condemning himself all the time. Last time we looked at Romans, we were in the chapter before. So if you found Romans chapter 8, if you look up a few paragraphs to verse 18 and 19, it says in chapter 7, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Donald Trump's problem is our problem. It's my problem. We stand condemned in our skin and bones. And chapter 8 brings in a wonderful, wonderful response to that. Unlike the previous chapters in Romans and the following chapters, Romans chapter 8 is full of the Holy Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit. So if you're not familiar with the Bible, you manage to find your way to Romans. The Bible is not one book, it's lots of books. It's a library, and the Romans is one particular book. It's a type of book called, well, it is a letter. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to a church in Rome. And it's written as a sort of an instruction, a sort of theological instruction to them. Let's read the first 11 verses of chapter 8. This is quite dense, but what I want you to listen out for is for the Holy Spirit and what he does. And I started by saying we're under condemnation. First one, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Wouldn't Donald love to hear that? Wouldn't we all love to hear that? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law's sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh to be a sin offering, a sacrificial offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ is a title for Jesus, from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because He loves us. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we pray? Father, before we turn to this passage, we just want to remember, like Alex was getting us to declare what we want to see in Headingley, but we also want to look further afield, and we pray about the effect of Matthew on Haiti and that area of the world, and the damage and the devastation done there. And we just cry out for those people, and we pray for we thank you for the people amongst them who are seeking to help and to serve and to rebuild and to bring care and food and medical help. And we just ask you to equip them and bless them. And we pray that the suffering and the people who have lost so much will know your presence amongst them. And Lord, I thank you for this church and for our response of worship to you in the way that we give financially. I thank you for the gifts that have been given month in, month out, by standing order to, as a statement of our love and our thanks to you, but that enables us to carry on doing what you've called us to do. We thank you for that offering. And now, as we come to look at this scripture about what your Spirit does in our skin and bones, we ask you to anoint these words and help us to understand more. Would your Holy Spirit come and fill us and change us? May we leave this place differently to the way we arrived. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, there is now, therefore now condemnation. What an amazing statement. There is therefore now no condemnation. All those little voices you hear saying how bad you are out of the window. There's no condemnation. The word condemnation comes from katakrina in Greek. It says judgment against, passing sentence on, declaring guilt, damning. What would it be like if Donald Trump could believe that he was not being condemned? Because he must be surrounded by that all the time, as we are, if not externally, internally. And this is one of the reasons why people deny the existence of God, isn't it? Because if there's no higher being, nothing that's calling us to something better, bigger, a higher ethic, then there's less chance of being condemned. And it's a bit of a way around that, because of that deep need not to be condemned, the flip side of seeking affirmation. It's a real cause of stress, the doctors tell us, self-condemnation. Would you like to escape from condemnation? Would you like to escape from condemnation? Yeah, that's not a difficult question. So let's just look at the current state of play. Let's look at what God has done about it, and then what our response can be. The current state of play is illustrated by our friend Donald. I'm not making a political observation, it's a spiritual one. We all come from this place. Now, let me talk to those of you who are already followers of Jesus and have been for a while. You know this. You may be on a trajectory towards something that's better. and fulfilling a life that's more and more Christ-like. But you know where you come from. We know we come from brokenness and mess, and we are repentant and asking God's forgiveness all the time whilst we press on to something better. But let me speak to those of you who are not followers of Jesus. I'm pretty certain if I was to talk to you one-on-one, very few of you would say, I'm fine, thanks. Yes, I'm doing okay. I'm perfect in every way. I don't know anybody who says that. Well, very few. Just like the rest of us, you will be broken and messed up somewhere. And maybe you're steering your life by your own map. You're chasing dreams and hopes, you know, without fulfillment. No substance. Maybe you're reaching for meaning, and as you reach out and you grasp, there's thin air there. Lots and lots of questions. Are there any answers? We had a lady staying with us recently, not a Christian, but she's a scientist but has been pursuing questions of faith. And she was saying to Alison last night, you know, I've sort of given up asking questions because I don't think there are any answers. What she meant was she didn't like the answers. There's injustice and brokenness all around us. We can see it in our society, and it seems so futile. Trying to do anything. Many of us look, if I look at you, you look great this morning. Well done. You scrubbed up well. You present nicely, but inside, what's it like? Not quite right sometimes. Many of you will be feeling dry and empty, just skin and bones. It reminds me of another scripture, which I'd like to read with you, from Ezekiel. So if you go to the middle of the Bible and turn right, or again, look in the contents, the middle is round about Psalms, and then if you turn right, you go through a big book called Isaiah, another big book called Jeremiah, and then you get to Ezekiel, chapter 37. The Bible's quite helpful. It divides up all the blocks of words into numbered chapters. Then it divides up the sentences into numbered verses. So that's how we reference them. So we say Ezekiel chapter 37, verse whatever. This is not a letter. This is a prophecy. It's not scientific. It's not historical. It's a prophecy. And it's the prophet Ezekiel recording what happened to him. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. You've heard the story before? He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, only you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. Extraordinary prophecy. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise. I love this bit. There was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. I love that. Love that. This is the state of play. We are bones, just skin and bones, and we can't fix our brokenness. We can't sort it out. As the Alcoholics Anonymous steps, the 12 steps starts with, we are powerless to change. We admitted we were powerless. We came to believe in a power greater than ourselves. Our condemned skin and bones need what? They need the spirit of life, breath from God, so that we may stand, so that we may live, so that we may be free. How does God want to do that? How does he breathe life into our skin and bones? Let's look back at Romans chapter 8, verse 3. What does he do? For what the law was powerless to do, by law he means like a structure of religion to try and be good and do the right thing. For what the law was powerless to do, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. God did by sending his own son. I have to say that this is something, I've been a Christian a long, long time, and I still don't get this. I still think it's just extraordinary. I just don't understand. I never have, really. I've accepted it, and I've sort of responded to it, but I've never understood why God should bother. You know, he creates us, he gives us this wonderful world, he gives us everything, and then we just behave so extraordinarily badly and just push him out of our lives. Why didn't he just say, just wipe us out, or just go the other way? Why? I don't know. Well, he tells us why. He says because he loves us. And so he stoops to send his son as skin and bones. I just think that's just an amazing thing, that we get to serve a God who would do such a thing. It's just amazing. It's just wonderful. There's nothing we can do. We're just skin and bones. There's nothing we can do, so he does it, even though we are not at all worthy of it. You know, people say, where is God when it hurts, when there's tornadoes and things? And we say, he's here. He sent his son, verse 3. He sent his son as skin and bones. He's here. He's here in you and me. John 3:16, the famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he sent his son. See, Jesus, this person that we talk, you know, frivolously about, is a human being who walked the dusty paths of Palestine 2,000 years ago. And he was full of the Spirit, of the breath of God, and he revealed to us what God is like and what we were meant to be like. And sinless, he did no wrong, having been fully obedient to God, whilst wearing our sinful nature, he carried in his death on the cross all that condemnation. All that mankind has done wrong is wrapped up in his sinful sacrifice. And just as he wore our skin and bones, we wear his righteousness, being put right before God. This is such a crucial thing to understand, is that there is nothing that we can do to do this. This is not, if I'm good enough, I can sort of earn my way back to God. There isn't. There's nothing we can do. It's all about him. It's all what he's done, not what we do. And I can't pledge to be a better man and never ever let you down. That won't get me sorted. And you can't work hard enough. You can't be nice enough. You can't give away enough money. You can't pray enough. You can't fast enough. You can't do anything to breathe life into your own skin and bones. But he can. Verse 4, he says, in order that the righteous requirement might be fully met, in order that we can be put right, we live according to the Spirit. That phrase is kata pneuma. It's according to the Spirit. Is the picture there is of the Holy Spirit coming down on you and into you. Whoosh. That's the, with the Holy Spirit in us, then life can change. Do you remember, those of you of ancient vintage such as mine will remember a guy called Emerson Fittipaldi, who used to be a Formula One driver. And he used to be the front man for Esso. And the strapline on their advertising is, what gets him around gets you around. And when we look at Jesus, we see what got him around gets us around. The Holy Spirit in him, the power of the Holy Spirit in him, the breath of life in him is what's on offer to you and me to get us around. Isn't that an extraordinary offer? Say, yes, David.
Yes, David.
It is. He alone draws us towards Christ-likeness. He speaks truth into our hearts. He brings power for new life. Verse 11. I love this verse. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is the breath of life into those skin and bones. So that's the state of play, and that's what God's done about it. State of play is that we're in a terrible place, and what God's done about it is to send his Son. And then we're presented with a choice, a decision. So we can choose to, as it says in verse 1, we can choose to live a life controlled by our sinful nature, or we can choose to live a life in Christ Jesus. If you read through it, I don't know if you noticed as I was reading, the cadence is between the sinful nature and being in Christ, having Jesus in you. So in sinful nature, the adjectives are sort of death and powerlessness and weakness, and the mind's being set on what the sinful nature desires, inability to please God, and condemnation. But in Christ, it's life. In Christ, it's life and power and strength and freedom and obedience and mindset on what the Spirit desires and peace and finding that we can be pleasing to God. How do we do that? We repent. We're heading in this direction away from him, and we just turn and we say, we're going to head for you. Lord, I'm turning. I'm repenting. I'm turning towards you. I'm sorry for everything I've done. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, with that breath of life. Help me to follow you with every ounce of my being, every meter and minute of my life. And then we end up back at verse 1. When we've done that, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me conclude. We are but skin and bones. Without the Spirit of life, we are dry, hopeless, broken and condemned, and that's the state of play. But God loves you so much that he sent Jesus, his Son, in the likeness of our sinful nature, to carry the punishment of our sins. And now we can choose to invite him, to invite his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, into our life to know his forgiveness and be empowered to live a new and eternal life, bones brought to life. Ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life into your skin and bones. So I'm going to invite you to stand in a moment if you want to respond to this. And if you're thinking, I want to be set free from that condemnation thing. I want to be filled with the breath of life. That amazing picture of those skin and bones standing and being an army, alive, to be filled with the breath of life. If you want to ask Jesus into your life for the first time, or for the second time, or for the nth time, because, gosh, we need his Holy Spirit to fill us again and again. Maybe as I've been speaking, you've been thinking, yes, I'm condemning myself for that or for this or for the other, and you need him to come and forgive you and to give you a new start, a new life, and for his Spirit to fill you again. So if you want to respond to that incredible sacrifice and begin to live a Christ-filled life, If you want to respond to his love, would you like to stand right now and we'll pray for you? I love it. The honesty that we need his spirit in our lives. It's fantastic. That you're willing to stand up in front of people, and the Lord loves that too. You know you're not perfect. Anybody else? Let me pray over you the prophecy that Ezekiel prayed. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe. Breathe from the four winds. Breathe into these slain that they may live. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. As these guys stand to say, once again, or maybe for the first time, I'm sorry, I need to repent, I need to get straight with you again. And as they commit their lives to you once again, would you fill them with your Holy Spirit? Now let him come. Let that whoosh of his Spirit come. That's it. Breathe new life into them, Lord. Breathe new life, free of condemnation. More. See, we believe that the Holy Spirit is here and he's in conversation right now with each of these people, and he's turning their hearts towards him, and he's empowering them to deal with the stuff in their lives. Thank you for what you're doing. If you're a regular in this church, would you find one of these people and just put your hand on them, and I want you to pray this prayer. I bless what you're doing. That's all I need you to pray. I bless what you're doing. Come, Holy Spirit, I bless what you're doing. Bless what you're doing. Let him come. Guys, let him come. This is a healing time. It's a restoring time. It's that amazing point at which you realize there's no condemnation. It's that move from skin and bones to a spirit-filled whole life. Let him come. Bless what you're doing. Amen. Okay, do take a seat. If that's the first time you've responded or you want any more information, just grab me afterwards or one of the guys welcoming. We'd love to give you some more stuff to help you on that journey. We're nearly at the end. Does anybody have a word of knowledge or a revelation for us or a prophecy for us that you've had during the morning? You think something specific? We believe that the Lord will speak to us through each other to help us respond to him in little words and ideas and pictures, all through life, but particularly when we worship together. So.
Just getting a sense that as David's been speaking, there might be one or more people who just feel like they've been slimed or dirtied by something that they've done.
Okay, so whilst I've been speaking, you're reflecting on something that you feel like it's slimed you, that you've done, or it's been done to you perhaps, and that disqualifies you. We'd love to pray for you. Do come and grab, come to the front afterwards, and Sally will come and pray with you and chat with you if that's you. Anybody else? Bob, and then Jeffrey. So a figure standing in a dark corridor, looking at an old wooden door, asking, what's freedom like? And Jesus says, I'll open the door. I've got the key. Great. Thank you.
He is a totally, utterly, utterly redemptive God, and there is no part of your life that he can't redeem.
Amen. He's a totally redemptive God. There's no part of your life he can't redeem. Small person, big door. Everything that's the kingdom of God and God behind the door. You've been trying to prize it open. There's just a glimmer of light, but it's not opening at the moment. Is that right? Okay. David? Psalm 23, the Lord is setting a table before us. Okay, a feast. Great, that's a wonderful picture.
Yeah, and I have at the beginning of worship just a sense of God's abundance and just there's so much for everyone and he's bigger, he's more powerful than any situation. But there's an abundance and everyone is welcomed, everyone is made whole by what he has done.
An abundance of God for us, like a waterfall, a water falling over us. I missed the middle bit.
Yeah,
it's for enough for everybody. Yeah. I think it was something probably to do with that meal, the banquet that he lays for us. Anybody else going? Go on. Okay, would you like to stand? If any of those words, as they were being shared, you thought, that's me, or I'd love that, just because it's easy to manage, would you come, when I finish praying, just come down to the front here, and I'll get someone to chat with you and to pray with you. We don't give advice, we won't shout at you, we'll just ask the Holy Spirit to come and to bless you. If there's anything else you come with today, if you've come with illness or with financial difficulties or a relationship breakdown, this is what we're here for, to introduce you to Jesus, who knows your situation, and to pray that he will bless you and help you. So again, do come down to the front, and I'll be glad to get someone to pray with you. So Lord, we thank you for what you've done amongst us today. We thank you for the time of worship and sharing, and for the truth of your word in Romans 8, and how you can turn our skin and bones into life-filled Christ-likeness and be brought close to you, that we can be set free from condemnation. We love what you've done. We don't understand it fully. We think it's incredible, but we love it, and we say thank you. So we ask you to fill us with your Spirit today and send us out to extend your kingdom into Headingley and Leeds and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard this morning. Have a great week.